My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school, you're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
I'm Will Lucas, Black Tech Green Money. It's so good to be here at Winston-Salem State University. Winston-Salem, make some noise. Man, this is going to be on the podcast. Y'all better make some more noise than that. Winston-Salem State University.
I like that.
Kudos to State Farm for partnering with us at Black Effect for this Financial Literacy Road Show. Big up to State Farm. Y'all make some noise for them.
Absolutely.
Today, I have the honor and privilege of talking to a man who is super interested in you guys and making sure that you guys have the knowledge, insights, and et cetera to get the bag and keep the bag and grow the bag. Y'all, anybody interested in that? Anybody in the room? Yes, I know. I am, so I'm here to learn, too. So I want to introduce Benjamin Holmes. Ben Holmes, we're going to have fun today. He is the Vice President, Enterprise Credit Risk Management at Wells Fargo, previously at Bank of America. Y'all, welcome Ben to the stage. So first of all, that's a long title. and I want you to tell us what that means, Enterprise Credit Risk Management. Like, what do you do day to day?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, man, I just want to say thank you to you, Will, for allowing me the opportunity to come and, you know, provide a little insight here today. Number two, just in regards to my career, man, one of the main things that I really focus on from a day to day is evaluating risk. And is it kind of stems from my personality type, number one, because I like to try to always analyze decision making and things of that nature. But I essentially get paid to read as many articles all day as possible to understand how that's going to impact finances, how that's going to impact our bank's balance sheet, and try to ensure that we're having the right conversations internally to prevent us from a collapse or any type of overexposure. So
what's interesting about banking, and I was talking to another banker about this recently, is we have this idea, specifically in our communities growing up, about, you know, being afraid of banks mm-hmm. and going to check cashing places and things like that because we didn't have their banking relationships. And I learned this in my adult years, which was shocking to me, mm-hmm. that banks want to give you money.
Absolutely.
They want to, but they can't always because we're not always in a position
Absolutely.
To get the money. So can you talk about how banks actually grow and what their incentive is mm-hmm. to invest into people?
Well, banks get paid two ways. Number one, they get paid off the fees that they charge you, either it being overdraft fees or transaction fees or things of that nature. And they get paid off the interest that they make when they lend out your money. So whenever you're going in to deposit your money into a bank, whether it be Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Truist, whatever one you decide to choose, they're taking that money and then lending it to someone else for your mortgages, for your car notes.
Someone else could be you.
Yep. Yeah, lend it right back to you, essentially, right?
Yeah.
At a set fee. And they take that money, and that's how they build revenue throughout their income statement.
So if they're not loaning money, they're not making money.
Yeah, they're not loaning money, they're not making money, for sure.
And so what are some typical things that you find are the reasons we can't establish those relationships successfully?
Honestly, it really boils down to credit. I mean, there are a lot of different conversations, too, we can have on top of credit as far as, like, having access, having the ability to have the right conversations with the right mortgage advisors and things, or loan officers and things of that nature. But if a bank sees that they've done your credit profile and you are a less risk-averse person to borrow money, they're going to want to allow you to borrow money because, again, that's how they get paid, right? So me at Wells Fargo, I also have a coaching company called Boardroom Vision, in which that's one of the principles in what I've defined as the Boardroom Blueprint. The Boardroom Blueprint is a five-step, financial journey in how we legitimize our finances. The first step of that is building a budget. You can't know where you're going without building a budget. Like, you can't talk about investments, you can't talk about credit, you can't talk about anything until you build a budget, because you have to know what's coming in and you have to know what's going out. Outside of step two, we then start to look at high interest debt. Again, we talk about credit cards and personal loans and things of that nature, in which obviously, you know, a lot of people love to go get these types of loans. However, when you're spending so much in interest as a consumer, it robs you from actually obtaining real wealth, right? Mm-hmm. So our next thing is really focusing in on that high interest debt. So making sure you pay down every single credit card that you have, any personal loans, anything with an interest rate that I consider over, in this market, 6 to 7%, pay that down as fast as possible. And then after you pay off all your credit cards, we then have a conversation of credit, because now you want to focus on building your credit, because now that really invites you into a wealth building conversation, for which step four for me is home ownership, either it being buying rental properties or a personal home that you're going to live in. You really should start to use the money that you're going to get from nursing jobs or banking jobs or whatever professions you decide to go into after you graduate, to really start to build wealth with ownership. And then that last step is investments, which I call alternative investments. So you can start talking stocks, you start talking other rental properties, crypto, whatever your risk allows you to start and accept at that point. You can go and have those real conversations because you've done all the steps prior to 1 through 4. So that's kind of my plan and kind of how I look at the wealth building journey.
So to land this for the people in this room, they're at a stage where they're becoming aware mm-hmm. of the credit profiles that they may have. And so when I was in college, and this might have been true for you too, there was credit card people all over campus. You know, you get a free T-shirt for signing up for this credit
slice
card.
Slice of pizza.
Which is so crazy to me now that we would do that. But I don't know if that's still allowed. I don't know. I don't see it as much.
I've heard they put certain restrictions on it these days.
Okay.
But credit card companies are still credit card companies.
Yeah.
They're going to try to find ways to take advantage of people that may not necessarily know all the information that they should, right? So I one of my mottos in Boardroom Vision is take authority over our finances. So it's on us to, number one, do our due diligence to understand what it takes to build credit, and number two, how we protect our credit. And that's making sure we just don't apply for every single credit card, but doing it very strategically to where we know we're building credit, but we're not going to go out, max it out for homecoming or something like that and never pay it back.
What's so interesting about what you're saying is, you know, specifically when you're in college, you're at that place in life generally where you're starting to realize ain't nobody coming to save you no more.
Mm-hmm.
And the choices that you make and the decisions that you make, they're yours to own.
Absolutely.
And the mistake I made, at least, and I don't know if you made this mistake, was signing up for one of those credit cards for the free T-shirt and then using it, not being educated on how to use it. And so can you talk about the difference between how we get trained or non-trained mm-hmm. to use credit cards well, and the different, and what people who do get trained, what are they learning early? Mm-hmm. So when they get that first credit card, they're doing with it to make sure that they're building credit instead of just mm-hmm. buying stuff.
So, well, my story is a little different. I grew up in a single parent household, but the single parent was my father. And one of the things he always taught me, even in a house where we were, you know, trying to make ends meet oftentimes, is protect your credit and try to save. And one of the ways that he taught me how to protect my credit is, number one, not applying for it when you don't need it. But number two, and one of the most important pieces, when you do apply for your credit, make sure you never spend more than 30% of your actual balance.
Yeah.
Because that has a tremendous impact on your credit score. When you start getting into, so let's just hypothetically use some soft numbers here, right? If I go apply for a credit card at some store in the mall, right, in Haynes, and they approved me for $1,000, I should not want to spend no more than $300 on that specific credit card. Because once you start getting higher and higher on that $1,000 that they're lending you, it's taking your credit score down. Because banks are looking at that as, you may not know how to manage your finances as properly as someone else who is keeping their limits at a far lesser rate.
Are those good credit cards, store credit cards? I've never applied for a particular individual brand credit card. Most of mine are just general. Is there a difference between those and other ones?
When you say good, I would say it's subjective, right?
Okay.
Because oftentimes you may just be looking to get accepted for a credit card, right? So you can start to build credit. So, you know, your first credit card may not be the Bank of America Platinum or the Wells Fargo Platinum. So sometimes you got to take what you can get just to get in the door. But I would say that it can be a great place to start if you use it strategically. And being strategic is making sure that you do not go over those balance thresholds.
What do you find when you think about the college age people, you know, people just coming out of college that you know, when they're using financial channels, whether that be a credit card, whether that be, you know, Chime or Cash App, or they're starting to get into this game. PayPal is getting into this game.
Yep.
What are like the red flags you see before they get over the cliff? Mm-hmm. They're starting to display these sorts of patterns that, yo, bro, you're going to run into trouble in a minute.
If I'm being completely honest, it's buying things that don't appreciate. I mean, it really, the credit card, right? So whether it be your clothes, whether it be, I don't know, just other things that may not necessarily need to go on a credit card.
Food.
Yeah, food.
Food is wild. And then you don't pay it off. Like,
I'm also empathetic to the times, too, because we know inflation is at rates that has gone up before, and sometimes you just may not have the money.
Yeah.
So this may be your emergency vehicle. But I oftentimes try to challenge people to say, before pulling the easy lever of a credit card, get another job, try to save up a emergency fund. Your first emergency fund should at least be $1,000. After that, you want to at least get 6 months expenses. But at least have $1,000 in your savings to where if something goes wrong today, you can tap into that as opposed to tapping into your credit card. But honestly, I'm against credit cards altogether. I personally, after you've built your credit and open them and keep your balances below that 30%, just maybe use it on a day-to-day, but pay it off at the end of the month. I try not to carry any balance ever on a credit card just because you start getting into trouble, right? Like I've been in a situation before, and that's kind of where my passion comes from, because yeah. I've made these mistakes personally myself coming up in my days. I grew up in a culture where it was a bunch of Jay-Z and Cameron. They're giving us these ideas of 100%. Flash and ball till you fall. So we'll go to clubs, put the table on a credit card, and before you look up, 5-6 years later, you got $17,000 worth of credit card debt. Well, I'm talking personal experience, and trying to figure out how to pay for it. Yeah. And one of the things that I did to climb myself out of that type of hole is, again, buckling down on a budget, understanding what's coming in, what's coming out, going in a hole for some years to really save, to really cut expenses, to say, hey, maybe I don't need those new shoes. Maybe I don't need that pair of Jordans. Maybe I don't need that necklace, that shirt, so on and so forth. And you start to see where you can really trim some fat to really save some money.
I'm glad you bring up the word budget, because, you know, we've been trained in our culture generally to hear the word budget and you're like, oh, that's, you know, that's not as a downer, not as, you know, the Debbie Downer at the party. But when you think about a budget, it's actually helping define what your goals are.
Absolutely.
And helping you stay focused on the goals. So can you speak to budget from that perspective? Because typically when we hear the word, it's like from a negative perspective, like I can't have fun anymore.
It's all perspective, man, because I think one of the beautiful things for me in a budget is it actually becomes fun when you can have fun without having to worry about the money. Like, how many times have y'all been on a vacation, but you can't really have fun because you're sitting there thinking about, like, oh man, is this gonna go through? Is this gonna go through? Like, you probably shouldn't have been on vacation
if
you're sitting there trying to worry about, like, the expenses of the trip. Whereas a budget allows you to say, you know what, we've set aside $3,000 for this trip. These are the things we're going to do on this trip. They're already in our mind paid for, so you can really enjoy yourself, be immersed in the experience, and really have fun. And I think that's kind of where this conversation really has to stem, is what is your vision? What are your things that when you sit down, when I'm budgeting, what am I trying to do 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, that I can at least start to work towards now? I'm not saying you have to go live in a hole, eat noodles for the rest of your life. But what I am saying is there has to be some small sacrifice now, especially while y'all are young. Like, being able to have this conversation at 21 as opposed to 31 would give you guys a lot more better advantage than I know I had, than I know you probably had, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because this wasn't the talk back in 2004, 2005. Like, we're in the middle, in my opinion, a black wealth renaissance where people are having conversations about wealth, having conversations about sacrifice. And I know we're, you know, technology and things of that nature, but technology has made this a lot easier process to really get a hold of the information and take advantage of a lot of the things our parents just did not have the opportunity to.
I remember growing up, I had this friend who didn't go to a predominantly black school, but he was a black man, and he was a black boy at the time. And I remember him saying, because he was around really wealthy, you know, our less melanated friends. and I remember him saying, you know, the more money he gets as he grows older, the less dressed he will be presented.
Right.
And he will look messier and sloppier the more money he had. And I didn't understand it at the time. Like, you know, when I get it, I'm going to be fly, whatever. And then I start to look at, I remember seeing like these memes of like, you know, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett and whatever, or Jay-Z even today. I'm like, we'll have no chains on, maybe a watch, but you can't tell what it is. And they'll say, you know, $20, $40, $60 billion in a photo, but there's no Gucci belt.
Yep.
So can you talk about how we've been programmed to understand wealth and what real wealth looks like?
Absolutely.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
When it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. Vanta automates compliance for ISO 27001 SOC 2 and more, saving you time and money. Unify your security program management and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, FlowHealth, and Cora use Vanta to build trust and improve security in real time. Access Vanta's free suite of resources to scale your governance, risk, and compliance program at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special.
Before I want to recommend this book. It's called The Psychology of Money. It is one of my most favorite finance books because it addresses this very same concept that we're talking about right now. It's the idea of how wealthy people tend to think versus how people who have not been brought up around, you know, just wealth conversations tend to kind of operate in money. And it literally changed my life because it made me understand, like, the root of some of the things that I may have been searching for when I was making those purchases, right? Like, whenever you're going to buy Jordans, you're not necessarily sometimes just buying a shoe, you're buying the feeling that the shoe may give you, right? And if you're purchasing to try to fill voids or trying to compensate for something, you're still going, like, there's going to be a void that has to always be filled, which, you know, I'll go here as well. I'm also a faith guy, in which God has to be the center of a lot of decisions we make, because when God comes in and fills that void, all the materialism kind of goes away, and where wealth becomes a tool, because money, that's all money is, right? You know, sometimes we tend to look at it and give it way more power than it actually has. Money is just a tool to get us to what we want, either it being the opportunity to spend more time with our family, to provide for the people around us that we love, to be able to give back to schools and empower people around us. Like, those are the things I want money to do for me. But you have to understand what it is you wanted it to do for you and how you can get there. And sometimes it doesn't have to be just about yourself. It needs to be outside of yourself. And people that dress down have typically kind of figured that concept out. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, why spend it on me when I can use that money for the clothes that I would have spent on another task or another type of investment, because the return on that will come back to me tenfold, either it being in a financial perspective or a spiritual perspective.
Yeah. So is it okay to have nice things and want nice things?
Absolutely. I don't think it's anything wrong with it. I think the crux or the issue comes into place where we're overspending on the nice things to fill the void. Whereas if, again, using soft numbers here, I have $1,000 and I spend five on something, the rate that five is not going to hurt me. Whereas me having $100 and spending my last 90 on, how you budget is the ratio of how you spend and where you spend it.
So how do we think about the conversation of you should use assets when, if I'm in college in particular, if I'm in university, how do I use assets to buy the things that are frivolous, the things that necessarily don't bring a return? But if I want to go buy a Gucci belt, I probably shouldn't be buying a Gucci belt if I make an hourly wage and I'm spending my hourly wage on a Gucci belt. Because if I look at their numbers, I'm probably spending an entire week of my life or two just for this belt if you actually break the numbers down.
In that situation, what I would challenge anyone with that train of thought is, number one, why do you need a Gucci belt? Number two, just understand the concept and how they're thinking, right? Like, what's the purpose of it? But on top of that, what I would try to challenge is, all right, if you want the Gucci belt, let's make sure you have enough savings to be able to get to that quote-unquote status, right? But what I would also recommend is looking for ways to buy assets that are going to grow to make that journey a lot faster. Especially now where, you guys are in college, you may not have the debt that a lot of people, other people may have. So it kind of, you can mess around in investing and things like that earlier to where you grow your money, and then, the $200 that you would have spent on a Gucci belt grows to $400 and it kind of paid for itself. Yeah.
So how do you, in the early days of income earners, like many of these are, or some of them may not even be income earners yet, but may just be pure students, how do you treat yourself? So I remember I have a wealth manager now who helps me manage my finances. And I was joking with her, like, I'm a sneakerhead, like I buy sneakers. Mm-hmm. And I was joking with her, I'm like, I know I gotta stop buying sneakers. Right. And she was like, that's really, if that's all you're doing and everything else you're doing is related to your investments, that's okay. You got to have something
to
treat yourself on. Right. She was like, if it's just sneakers, I don't have no problem with that.
Right.
But if it's become something else, then that's a different thing. But if it's just, and that's all I really do. And so I buy sneakers. Mm-hmm. And so how do you treat yourself along the way to make sure you stay motivated along that path? Because if it's just about hard numbers, black and white, cold, budgeting in that way, how do you stay motivated to keep the energy to do this?
Well, it's all about the percentages, right? Like when you're making money, you look at the whole pot. Off top, you're going to have to pay Uncle Sam. So, they're going to take their 20, 25, 35%, depending on the tax bracket that you're in. That's off gate. And then you're going to have your necessary bills that you're going to have to pay. So to me, in my plan, you have to prioritize first and foremost. You can't put shoes over the necessities of life. So after you budget your necessities, you then start to look at what's left. And if you have a certain amount left, like now let's start having a conversation of how do we want to allocate what's left for our, for whatever our personal benefit is. You can buy some to treat yourself, or you can also take a portion of that and invest into whatever it is you may want to invest in, which kind of brings me to one of the most important investment strategies. It's called dollar cost average. Dollar cost average is the most easiest, most profound, but honestly one of the most lucrative ways to investing.
Break it down.
Because the idea is that you take a little bit over time and it grows into a lot of bit. That's honestly the most easiest way I can explain it. In the same way that your parents may invest into a 401k or something like that, dollar cost averaging is the same concept. Every time you get paid, you take a small portion, throw it into an investment account, whether it be a ETF, which is an exchange traded fund or a mutual fund, and just consistently do it. There's an old mantra that goes, time in the market is better than timing the market. Timing the market is trying to wait till the stock market goes down to the bottom, buying at the bottom, and then wait until it goes up. Time in the market is,
I'm gonna spend $25 a week no matter what.
I'm gonna buy here. At every 2 weeks or a month or however often you get paid, you're buying at every step so that over time.
That makes sense to everybody?
Your average of what you paid to get in the market is gonna be less than where the market is at. So you're gonna essentially make money as long as the market continues to do what it's been doing over the past 100 or some odd years.
So we talked about before we got on, you know, you have kids, I have kids, and we were talking about how the world now is, everything is about immediate gratification.
Absolutely.
And how to stay focused in a world where everything is like, you gotta have me, or you gotta buy this, or et cetera. What's the best case you can give for people at this stage of life on how to build a muscle against that dangerous immediate gratification?
It's like anything else that's good for you, right? Like, I know a lot of people may love going to the gym. I go to the gym. I actually hurt my back earlier this week, so I've been out. But when you go to the gym, and I was having this conversation with one of my friends earlier this last week. When you go to the gym, you feel pain when you're lifting, but it's a good pain, right? It's a pain that you know is going to produce muscle if you keep doing it. So while you're doing it, the motivation may be hard. Like, you know that, ah, man, like, I want to quit. I want to stop. But you have to keep doing it if you want to see those results. So sometimes that process, it may not be fun. Like, I mean, we're being completely honest, right? Like, who wants to sacrifice right now and have to wait? But that's the law of the world. That's the law of the universe. Like, planting a seed takes time to grow. Like, even just in nature, right? You go outside and plant an oak seed, it's going to take time for that seed to become a tree. So it's just being consistent, making sure you water it consistently, and it essentially grows.
So generally speaking, and I'm going to get to questions. So if you have questions or things that you may want to ask in about, you know, a couple questions from now, I'll be making sure that, you know, reach out to people in the audience who may want to ask Ben a question. By and large, the people in this room don't have mortgages yet, by and large, may not have kids yet, may not have the responsibilities that you or I have on things that you got responsibility, real things that you can't drop. Talk about the imperative of taking this time of their life seriously, because once they're out of it, you can't get back in it.
Right, and this is why I love the conversations with this audience, is because if we can capture you guys now to make the right decisions and invest early, you'll be at a stage where when you turn 35, 40, the world is your oyster. Like, just even with a regular, quote unquote, nursing job, you make anywhere between $80,000 to $120,000 a year. If you invest consistently, starting, 19, 20, 21 years old, you can become a millionaire by the time you're 30. And after you become a millionaire, it takes 2 or 3 years to get your second million, typically, as long as the market continues to rise at the average rates, right? Like, it's the first million is the hardest, but after that, that's when things start to grow. So now is the time to really take advantage, because your time is your biggest commodity. Once you start to either have kids, have all these other competing priorities, you're not going to be able to put the same type of time and effort in then as you do now. So putting the sacrifice, putting the time in to understand a little bit about the markets. You don't have to be an expert. Just get around some people that are going to challenge you to have the conversations. That's what it's really all about, because when you start now, compound interest is going to do what compound interest do, which is the ability to allow your money to make money on top of itself.
So I'm going to venture to bet somebody in this room is like, this sounds like a great conversation about money. Or somebody listening to the podcast like, man, this sounds like a great conversation about money, but I ain't got no money.
Right.
So this, you know, I'm going to forward this to somebody else, you know. But for those people who are like, you know, hey, you telling me about the investment and I ain't got nothing to invest, what do you say to that?
And it goes back to my boardroom blueprint, man. Like, it starts with budget first. And if you look at your budget and legitimately do not have the funds to have the extra money, number one, look to see what you can cut. look to see what you can sell.
They got Netflix. Yeah, you got to have Netflix, though.
It's certain things you can cut, but sometimes you can't even cut your way in this market, right? Just with inflation and price of gas, oil is going up right now. We were having that conversation coming on the way up. Sometimes you just can't cut yourself into a way of being able to save accordingly. But you can always pick up a different job, right? You can always invest in yourself so that you can find a better opportunity that pays more money. Your earning power is going to be your biggest commodity over the next 10 years, whether it be the career choice that you make, whether it be the job that you end up applying for and the company you try to move up the ladder in, because that's one of the reasons I went into banking. I literally went to college, looked and said, which career makes a decent amount of money? And I went, I didn't really care, have the love for it. I was like, all right, I have to provide for myself and my family because I knew my pops wasn't going to do it. But that's the sacrifice that I made. Obviously, I loved it because there's a connection with me and finances, but you have to dig deeper down inside to, number one, ask yourself, what's your purpose? What are you going to love? But how also can I monetize that? And where those three things come into intersection is going to be where you have to kind of catapult into and really pour your heart into over the next 5 to 10 years. Because when you earn, especially high earners, you have the extra money to invest, right? Yeah, yeah. You have the extra money to continue to reinvest and not only to yourself and maybe even have some fun on the side, because it's plentiful at that point.
So I was looking at the data about Winston-Salem State University, and, you know, by 25% of the students here are in nursing programs. Mm-hmm. And everything else was like under 8%. Every other program here was under 8%, but 25% was in nursing. And you got to think about, these can be high earners, but they also work a lot of hours, high stress. You may love what you do, but you work a lot and often irregular hours. Mm-hmm. When you throw that profile of a, you know, an employee in a bag, how can they find success? Mm-hmm. Specifically that type of profile, high stress, right, but also high earner. You know, it's kind of like a lot of people I grew up who were older than I was, who worked, you know, 60, 70, 80 hours a week, mm-hmm. made a lot of money, but didn't have no time to spend it.
Right.
But you got to add in the mix for nursing also high stress. Yep. And so they're going to, like, at the end of the week, I don't work 60 hours. I just want to go, it's brunch. Yep. You know, we up. You know, bottomless mimosas. Yep. You know, so how do you balance, you know, that working style, that right. lifestyle, with the imperative also to grow and build wealth?
Right. Well, first and foremost, the opportunity to be a nurse is great because we need them, especially Black nurses in our community, right? Like, there's a huge need for them. This is just a side note. Sorry, this is not finance. But when my wife was, you know, going in labor and we're looking around, like, we know that in the healthcare sometimes, like, our people can kind of be judged, or, like, nursing is a thing that we need in our community. Doctors and all the way up in healthcare. But the benefit of that is you're helping people, you're doing your passion, and even though you may be working a lot of hours, that also means you're not spending a lot of money because you're working.
Yeah.
So, but how can you also ensure that you're going to be set financially for when you do retire? Because you can only do that lifestyle for so long, right? Like, you want to maybe come in, earn as much as you can, and then retire and enjoy whatever years or time that you may have off. So, again, going back to the idea of dollar cost average, being able to invest and not even miss it, meaning it coming directly out your bank accounts whenever you get paid, going into a brokerage account that is already invested, automate the process so that you don't miss it, you don't see it, and you're living off of an amount that you've already predetermined so that your investments are pretty much just taking care of itself. Like, for me and my household, we really try to shrink our quote unquote play money to a little as pot as much, because, you know, when you get used to living on a little, you don't even really look at your investments mm-hmm. accounts. And that's kind of how nurses, and honestly, it's not just nurses, it's the vast majority of Americans, right? Because everyone's not going to be vast in finance, but everyone does have some form of income, or most people have some form of income. So you just have to kind of tailor that and move it to the right places on the front end as opposed to the back end. Pay yourself first.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
In closing, I want to ask about technology. And so if you think about most of our grandparents, they don't want to use Cash App. They don't want to, you know, they want to write a check or get you cash from the mattress or what I got at her bra or something. And then on the flip side of that, our generations and the ones after us probably are too free on Cash App and Venmo and et cetera, to where now we got scammers and et cetera, and people taking advantage. And it's not even just the danger of scammers. It's also when you got cash, you see the money leaving, so you feel the pain. When you Cash App and you don't even feel no pain at all, it's just a number on the screen, right? And so how do you balance the day we live in and the amount of more technology we're using around our money to make sure we're being careful?
Ooh, that's a good question. First of all, I love where we are in regards to technology, right? Because when I was coming up, we didn't have a lot of what we have nowadays. Like, when I graduated, I opened a Fidelity account in 2009. First and foremost, there was a $2,500 minimum. There were transaction fees for any transaction that you did. And it was just, they made it so hard to invest that a lot of people just kind of threw their hands up at it, because it's like, yo, who got $2,500 just sitting around? Like, I'm not paying $7 every time I move, buy or sell something. And that was easier than our parents. So my parents, right, like, they didn't even have technology. They had to go sit in front of someone that usually did not look like them, that may have had a history of taking advantage of them. And you have to trust giving your hard-earned money to that person to go work on your behalf. So fast forward that to 2023, where all this stuff is accessible at our fingertips, right? It makes it a lot easier, right? And which is a good thing, because we want people to have the conversation of buying stocks consistently, but we also have to be careful, and we have to put parameters in place, of which we have to always make sure we're going to vetted resources and finding platforms that have been tried and true. Some of the ones I love, again, I just mentioned Fidelity. Empower is another good one. TD Ameritrade.
What do you think about Robinhood, like those sorts of apps?
I think Robinhood
is... Those, that category.
Robinhood can be good for what it is, but I personally do not use Robinhood because I like Fidelity from a perspective of the research tools and things that it provides. Like in Fidelity, it will give you as much information on the stock before you make the purchase. It'll tell you whether they suggest it's a sell, buy, strong buy, or hold. And it has articles underneath every stock for you to kind of read and do some due diligence. And it's just those type of things that I think kind of separate it from other platforms, because it gives you information. In a world where everyone wants to be an expert and TikTok wants to, like, you want to get as many reliable resources as possible.
Y'all make some noise for Ben. Make some noise for Ben.
Thank you for your time.
Are we at questions? Anybody questions? Yeah, yeah.
I was kind of offended when you said, you know,
you
use your credit cards for food.
Yeah,
can I bring that? Yeah. So what if, I mean, does it make sense if that car has an incentive or, like, points for food? Like, is that, like,
So if I can finish the statement, it was if you can buy, if you're buying food on a credit card but not paying it off.
Right.
Because then you're paying more for the food than you actually think you are in the moment. So if you're carrying a balance and you're buying food and you think you bought $10 worth of food and you, but you carried it over the month, you're actually paying.
It's gonna be about 15.
Yeah. So I had to finish. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. Same thing for gas too. Like if you're buying gas at 3.50 or whatever it is, 4.03 right now, and you're using a credit card, pay the credit card off, because if you don't, you're paying more for gas than you think you are in the moment because you carried it over that 30 days.
And I will admit, points are great, but points come at a responsibility, right? As long as you're doing it effectively. I've taken trips off points before, so I love the idea of points, but it's just letting those balances carry. We're at 20%.
Yeah.
Like that can get rough over a long period
Real
of time.
Real quick. Thank you. Other questions? Happy to take one or two more.
I have one.
Yes. Yeah, so the question was, how do you, like, what tools can you use, other things to learn how to budget and do it efficiently and effectively? Is that appropriate? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
Electronically, one of the platforms I really love is Mint. Mint just got bought, though, by TurboTax/Intuitive. So they've moved it into Credit Karma. Credit Karma is a good platform that I recommend. Empower is another one. I also have a spreadsheet. If you don't want to, like, do it through the software, you can go to my IG, Boardroom Vision, and the link in my bio, you can go and download a budget spreadsheet there as well. It kind of it maps out everything. It'll calculate your net worth as well. It's a pretty very nuanced spreadsheet. So, you know, you can do a couple of different ways. But I have it split out to where you have your reoccurring expenses first, then your what I call variable expenses, things that can change to where you can manipulate, and then your income as well as your total expenses to show what you should be saving per month.
Love that.
Hi, everyone.
Great. What's going on,
bro?
Great.
So you mentioned something that caught my interest, that we're in the, like, Black Wealth Renaissance. So I read a report by, I think it was NBC, that they said the Black Wealth would be at zero. So if you see this high-end, nuanced way of Black wealth, what do you think are some ways for us as a community to help combat that report of our dollar being at zero by 2050? How do you think we can create our resources
Let me repeat the question for so the question is, you know, you talked about the Black Wealth Renaissance, and there's reports saying that the black net worth in the country will be close to zero in 20-ish years. What are things we can do to make sure that we're not a part of that statistic?
Number one, continue conversations like this. All of this starts with these types of conversations, right? We have to educate ourselves. We oftentimes say financial literacy. I like to say financial authority, because knowing is one thing, but taking action off what we know is another thing, right? Like, we can't just sit and know the information without then going in and trying to implement it. Number two, we have to really start pushing ownership. Ownership from businesses, ownership from stocks, ownership from real estate. We really have to lean into that a lot more. And it starts with the conversation, though. But ownership is how we combat that.
We got one more question. There you go. I knew it was you. I had a feeling it was going to be you.
Really?
Yeah, some just said her arms wants to go up. Yeah.
So I am 47 years old. Okay?
Yeah.
Grown woman. But even with the way in which I came out of college, with debt.
Yeah.
I still have debt. And constantly working on it, but it's been ups and downs with life. So everything that you guys are hearing, even though it sounds like do, please take this advice. Because a lot of this, if I would have had proper education at 20, yada, 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 I would be in a better place. But let's say I am at the age, and I know where we keep asking about balancing your budget, et cetera, et cetera, but what would you say would be an easy amount to take, and where would I take that money to start my first opportunity of seeing growth? Is it like, I have $50. Mm-hmm. I can put this $50 towards, et cetera. I save $10 for 5 months. This $50 was my goal, and I'm taking it to do whatever. Can you give, and I don't say us, because I'm ready to start.
Yeah.
But us, and a really easy project that we could do in which we will be able to see growth, and it'll give us that excitement we need to continue.
Absolutely. So the question is, what can we do with smaller increments of money to start to invest and see and actually see growth?
Right. And first, whenever we have that conversation, I don't want to downplay the idea of small, right? Because every investment is a good investment, right? So long as it's in the right asset. So when we oftentimes think small, it can kind of prevent us from going in with the right mindset. But small increments over time is huge. If we do it right, which goes back to my dollar cost average idea. Well, not my idea, but idea in this industry. Being able, every time you get paid, taking 10, 15, 20, 30, whatever you can spare. I call it lunch money, right? Like things to where, you know what, if I eat out less once a week, can I throw that into an account every week, every bi week consistently? Build the habit. It's just like going back to the gym idea. Going to the gym once is going to do nothing. But going to the gym once every day, even if it's just 10, 15 minutes over time, you're going to start to see change. And if you do $15, $20, whatever you guys can afford, you'll look up and see over a 2-year, 3-year span if, you know, returns are anywhere between 5 to 10%. They've been a lot higher over the last year or so. But you're going to see growth on that, and it's going to make you excited to where now you're going to go in and learn a little bit more. You're going to probably invest a little bit more because your income is probably going up, and it just it builds you up to be more confident in it. Because a lot of this is really the idea of fear, right? We're scared. We're like, I don't really know. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And you just talk yourself out of the idea of making the first step, when in reality it's making the first step that's going to get you in the door. You're going to learn and become more of an expert of your own money. Even if you're not a financial advisor, financial coach, whatever the case may be, you're going to know enough to be dangerous to where over time it's going to naturally do what it naturally does. And again, a few brokerage accounts that I always recommend, Empower is a good one, Fidelity is a good one. Even for situations like this, I suggest Robinhood because it's easy. But again, you have to fully vet those types of resources and make sure that you're putting it in quality assets. Some of the quality assets that I tend to recommend are things that follow an index. Who knows what the Dow Jones is? Dow Jones, the NASDAQ, right? S&P 500. Yeah, these are quality indexes that are followed every day on your CNBCs, every financial network, financial station. I try to find ETFs that mirror those indexes and just put it in those. I honestly, personally don't think anyone should own individual stocks until they get at least $10,000, because diversity is the best policy when it comes to investing. But with diversity, you get that in an index. So it's the easiest way to be diverse.
It's a collection.
Yes, because basically your S&P 500 is the best 500 companies, but you're buying a fraction of the share of those companies. So, I mean, you're getting all the benefits of owning those 500 companies, but you're doing it at a fraction of the price. So it makes it that much easier to start. So now you don't have to really worry about and check your account every day. You're just knowing it's going into something quality, something diverse, and you can consistently do it to build that muscle to understand what you're investing in.
I love that. He leaned out of the word small. I'm going to lean into the word small. And I'm going to say this, that he talked about, personal development, investing in yourself. I'm going to say if you got $25 a week, $25 a month, invest in yourself. You know, like for me, what I've done, I don't listen to music in the car. I listen to podcasts and audiobooks because that's an hour a day or an hour and a half a day. $16 a month I can use on Audible or whatever other podcast or such and such to invest in myself. You know, there's people who, because they can't do 25 push-ups, they won't do five. And that actually, you're actually hurting yourself, because if you do five every day, ultimately you'll do six, you'll do seven, and then before you know it, you got 25. So that's growth that you're asking for. And so if you decide to take little increments of your day, those small things that you talked about, that little bit of money, and you divert it from spending it on something that might not necessarily be serving you to something that does serve you, and it could be as little as a book, it could be as little as, you know, an audio book or something like that, a seminar, a class that you take, a certificate program online, you will see growth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Benjamin Holmes, guys. Make some more
sense. Can I say something real
quick? Yeah, go ahead.
One last thing. My socials are Boardroom Vision. I want to do something because I truly, truly believe not only in this idea of financial wealth, but sowing into our young people. Follow me on all my platforms. I'm on Facebook, I'm on YouTube, and I'm on IG. For all the students, if you follow me and send me a message, I will put you in a random sampling tonight to start you with $500 to invest tomorrow in some of those ETFs that I mentioned. And that'll come out of my personal pocket. But you have to follow. I have to check and make sure you did everything we requested. But I want to make sure I see into someone in this room before the weekend.
I like that. Y'all make some noise for that. Yeah. What they say? What's the social again?
The socials are Boardroom Vision, and it's Boardroom all the way across the board: Facebook, YouTube, as well as IG. And make sure you send me a note on IG just to confirm that you did it, because that's how you're going to be entered into a random sampling. I'll probably do the random sampling on the live just to confirm that it is completely random. I want to make sure I see it into someone here today.
Yeah. Big up to State Farm again for investing in this financial literacy opportunity for you guys. Everybody at Black Effect, Black Tech Green Money. We talk about these kind of things every week. Every Tuesday, we drop a new episode. So subscribe, share if you believe that this will help somebody that you know. Good being with you guys.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you, brother.
Amen.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.